Tonight's shiur is a little bit of an overview of the Tfilot of Rosh Hashanah. Mostly trying to understand the Tfilot. It would be impossible to go through all the Tfilot. Just going to talk about highlighting certain sections of the Tfilah, so that hopefully, beginning tomorrow night, and when I say that, I have to tell you it's a little bit scary for me that tomorrow night is already Rosh Hashanah, and you have a whole Elul to prepare, and it seems like, where did Elul go? But beginning tomorrow night, and then on through the day, throughout the next couple of days of Rosh Hashanah, that you'll be somewhat more familiar than you are up until now with the structure of the tefillot, with certain tefillot that we say, and hopefully a little bit to help us get into the right frame of mind for the tefillot of Rosh Hashanah. We start with Rosh Hashanah, obviously, with tefillat arvit, and for the most part, aside from the tune that the Chazan uses, it's a regular Ma'ariv until we get to Shmon Esrei. In the Shmon Esrei of Rosh Hashanah, and this is true for the Shmon Esrei of the entire Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, there are four phrases that we add in to each and every Shmon Esrei during Aseret Yemei Teshuvah. If you take a look at the beginning of the Tfilat HaAmidah, what we call Shmon Esrei of Ma'ariv, in the middle of the first bracha, Mevi Goel of Nevenem Laman Shmo B'Yava, we add in the phrase Zachreinu Lechayim Melachavetz B'Chayim V'Chatveinu B'Sefer HaChayim Laman Chayalokim Chayim. A little bit later, in the bracha of Mechaye Meitim, just before the end of the bracha of Mechaye Meitim, we say, Mi chamocha ava rachamim, zocher yitzurav l'chayim barachamim. Towards the end of the Tfilat Amidah, in the bracha of Modim, we add in uktov l'chayim tovim kol b'nei v'ritecha, and finally in the bracha of Sim Shalom or Shalom Rav, we had in B'Sefer Chaim Bracha V'Shalom U'Panasa Tova Nizachev V'Nikatev L'Fanach Anachnu V'Chol Amcha Beit Yisrael L'Chaim Topim L'Shalom. These phrases are added into every single tefillah that we say beginning with Rosh Hashanah through Yom Kippur. The halacha is, don't forget it, but if you did forget it, must you repeat Shmona Esrei? And the answer is, no. But don't forget it. It's a lot of phrases to remember to add over a 10-day period. There's something interesting. By the way, a lot of what I'm going to say, probably everything I'm going to say, nothing here is so original, but I don't even remember where a lot of these ideas came from. So if I happen to quote somebody, fine, but if not, it's probably said somebody else said it. The four phrases have a bit of a progression. In the first one, we ask, Zachreinu Lechayim. So what are we asking for? Simply life, just simply to live. The next phrase, we up it a little bit. We add on a bit to our request. And we say, Mi chamocha ava rachamim, zocher yitzurav lechayim berachamim. We're asking for a life that comes, what comes with it? Mercy. Rachamim. A person could be alive, and it doesn't seem to be so much rachamim. The second time we ask for chayim berachamim, a life that comes through mercy. By the time we get to the third line, uchtov lechayim, what's the next word?
Tovim.
To be a good life. And finally, we have almost, pardon the expression, a laundry list. B'sefer, chayim, bracha, v'shalom, ufarnasa, tova. Yizachev, v'nikasev, l'fanecha, anach, v'chol amcha, beit Yisrael, l'chayim, tovim, u'l'shalom. So we keep asking for a little bit more. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, okay, it's Chaim, but Chaim Berachamim, and Chaim Tovim, and Sefer Chaim Bracha B'Shalom. Keep on going. It said in the name of Rabbi Saul Salanter that he used to, that first phrase of Zachreinu L'Chaim, Alachavetz B'Chaim, used to concentrate a tremendous amount of time, a tremendous amount of kavana and time in saying it. And he said that somebody who says that line without kavana, he says, is almost like a rotzeach. He's almost like a murderer. He says, think about it. You're asking for life, but in the plural, Zachreinu L'Chaim, for you, for your family, for everyone around you. You're asking simply that we should be able to live. And you'll say it without kavana? You won't pay attention to it? It's not meaningful to you? To ask for life for everyone, for yourself and for all your loved ones? How could you not have kavana? He says, if you're saying without kavana, it's as if almost, chas v'shalom, you're almost like a rotzeach. And one more point. Zachreinu l'chaim, melech chafetz b'chaim, v'chatveinu b'sefer achaim. Three more words. L'ma'ancha Elokim chaim. You should grant us life. What's l'ma'ancha?
For your sake.
For your sake. Because to a certain extent, if we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for life, I know I'm talking a little bit crisp, but you have to understand what I'm saying. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to respond, what's in it for me? Meaning, why do you deserve life? Why? And if our response could be, because I'll live a life that's lemancha, that's for your sake, I'll live my life to be mekadesh shem shamayim, to do what you want, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, oh, okay, that's a reason to grant life. And we have to remember that. We want this tremendous gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so we have to be deserving of that gift. It has to be L'ma'ancha Elokim Chayim. There's one more change that takes place throughout every single Tfilat Amidah, every single Shmoneh Esrei that we say throughout the Aseret Yemei Teshuva. And what's that change? Right. Instead of reciting at the end of the Bracha Vata Kadosh, instead of reciting Baruch Ata Hashem HaKel HaKadosh, during the entire Aseret Yemei Teshuva we recite HaMelech HaKadosh. And here the Halacha changes. If you recited HaKel HaKadosh and you didn't correct yourself immediately, and then you remember it, you have to repeat Shmon Esrei. All of Shmon Esrei. So that's why you have to say HaMelech HaKadosh. What's the difference between HaKel HaKadosh and HaMelech HaKadosh? Both refer to Hashem. Soloveitchik once explained that Kel is a term that we often refer to, use when referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when there's this great distance between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a piyut that we say, Kel mistate b'shafir chevyon, Hashem is concealed in His hidden abode. That's when we feel this tremendous distance between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are mortals and He is the Ribon HaShalolam. Use the term Akel. But during Aseres Yemei Teshuva, what happens to that distance, that infinite distance between us and Him? Chazal tell us on the Pasuk in Yeshayo, Dirshu Hashem Bihi Matzo, go seek out Hashem when He is found. When is HaKadosh Baruch Hu found? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is found all the time. But when is He more, so to speak, in our presence? These are the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a closer relationship to us during Aseres Yemei Teshuva. And therefore, we don't use the term Kel, which refer to when there's this tremendous infinite distance, but Melech, Because after all, Chazal tell us, Ein melech below am. You can't be a king unless you have a nation. And therefore, during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, even more so, he's the melech, and we're the am. We have a closer relationship. So we don't use the term kale, we use the term melech. Take a look at the Amidah on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Not during all of Aseret Yemei Teshuva, only on Rosh Hashanah and on Yom Kippur. The bracha of Akel HaKadosh is split in the middle. We begin, I have an art scroll here, maybe it's page 64 in your art scroll sitter, I don't know if it is, in mine it is. We begin Ata Kadosh Shimcha Kadosh Kedoshim B'chol Yom Ya'alelucha Se'ala, and then instead of saying Bruchat Hashem HaMelech HaKadosh, we interrupt the bracha in the middle, and we have four paragraphs: Uvechein Tein Pachtecha, Uvechein Tein Kavod, Uvechein Tzadikim, V'timloch Ata. So what's going on here? What are these four paragraphs, the four stages, to a certain extent, of what we're davening for? The first thing is V'chein tein pachtecha Hashem Elokeinu al kol ma'asecha. What's pachat? Fear. Hashem's fear should be upon whom? Al kol ma'asecha. Who does that include? What? Entire world. What does it mean Hashem's fear should be upon him? It only Hashem's fear will be upon them only if the entire world recognizes that there's a God. Hashem exists. So the first thing we're mispallel for is that the whole world should recognize Kadosh Baruch Hu's existence. That he's the Ribono Shel Olam. When that happens, we'll have stage two. Uvechein tein kavod Hashem li'amecha. What will Bnei Yisrael achieve? They'll finally be able to realize their destiny, to get the kavod that they deserve. Simcha li'artzecha, v'sason li'irecha, u'tzmichat keren l'david avdecha, v'arichat ner l'ven yishai mishichecha. By b'meir of Yameinu, talk about Mashiach and being on Yerushalayim. Once the whole world recognizes HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Bnei Yisrael will deserve, will reach their destiny. And at that point, V'chein tzadikim yiru v'yismachu. The righteous, who their whole lives were dedicated to Hashem, with this tremendous emuna of what needs to be done and what will happen, their whole lives will be justified. V'chein tzadikim yiru v'yismachu v'yishoim yalozu v'chasim neberina yagilu. And what will happen to the evil in the world? It'll disappear. Then, the whole purpose of the creation will finally be achieved. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be the sole melech in the world. What do I mean? That the whole world will recognize. V'yah Hashem lemelech al kol ha'aretz. B'yom ahu yah Hashem echad u'shmo echad. The whole world will recognize that. Yimloch Hashem li'olam elokeinu tzion l'dor v'dor halleluka. Again, Rav Soloveitchik once pointed out that in that first paragraph of V'chein tein pachtecha, first we talk about pachad and eima, which we usually again translate as pachad and eima. What do we translate as? Fear. And then it says, V'yira'ucha kol ha'ma'asim. What's yira? Awe. First pachad, then yira. First fear, and then awe. Why? Says Rav Soloveitchik, says the whole year, you sort of walk around in some sort of spiritual slumber. We're very caught up in ourselves. We sort of push HaKadosh Baruch Hu to a side, put him in a little bit of a compartment, do what we think we need to do, pay our homage, but we don't really make him the center of everything. And when a person is sleeping in a deep sleep, and you shake him a little bit and they're in a deep sleep, it doesn't work to shake him a little bit. When you have to rouse a person out of a deep sleep, what do you need to do? Violently shake them. Because they don't wake up. We're in this slumber, we don't wake up. So how are we going to get out of the spiritual slumber? It's only through pachad. It's like, ah! But pachad isn't the goal. Pachad is to get us out of the slumber. Then we need to translate or transform that pachad into something more useful. And what is more useful than pachad? Yira. Awe. That's something positive. That's something useful. But we can't start and ask Hashem for just yira because it won't happen. So first pachad, the name of fear and trembling, and then we can reach the stage of yira. The rest of the Amidah, it's not all of it, but it's somewhat similar to the Amidah of Yamim Tovim, although we'll point out one thing that in Vatiten Lanu, again in my Machzor on page 68, it says Vatiten Lanu usually on the Yamim Tovim, not usually, on the Yamim Tovim, he says Vatiten Lanu Hashem Elokeinu B'Yahava Moadim l'simcha, chagim uzmanim l'sason, et yom chag, amatzot hazeh, yom chag, sukkot hazeh, etc. We leave out this phrase on Rosh Hashanah. We say, v'atiten lanu Hashem Elokeinu bi'ahava. We don't say, moadim l'simcha, chagim uzmanim l'sason. Why not? Because although it seems, according to the Rambam, that there is some degree of simcha on Rosh Hashanah, but our simcha is very muted. It would not be appropriate on Rosh Hashanah to sing V'samachta, V'samachta V'chagecha. It's great for Sukkos. Rosh Hashanah, our simcha is much more muted. And therefore we don't emphasize it and we don't even mention it in the Amidah. We go V'atiten lanu Hashem Elokeinu bi'ahava and straight into Yom HaZikaron Hazeh. After Shmoneh Esrei, page 78. By the way, are these pages useful for you? Does somebody the same pages? Yep. Okay. Page 78. In many, many kihilot, there's a minhag to recite Perek Kav Dalet of Tehillim. The David Mizmor LaHashem Aretz Umloah. What does this Perek emphasize? Basically, it emphasizes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech. He's the sole ruler of the world. Now, the paragraph should be very familiar to you, because we say it every week. When? Huh? Shir Shayom, which day?
Sunday.
Why on Yom? Why is this the Shir Shayom of Yom Rishon? Because who and what existed on that very first Yom Rishon of creation? Only Hashem. Even the Malachim weren't created until the second day. So to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the sole leader, is the unique, is the Echad, so that's why we say it on every Yom Rishon. And since much of Rosh Hashanah is about recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchut in this world, that's why we have the custom to recite this on the first night, on both nights of Rosh Hashanah, towards the end of the after Shmoneh Esrei of Maariv. Rosh Hashanah day, the davening is fairly standard for a Yom Tov. Until you get to the end of, towards the end of Pesukei Dezimra. At the very end of Nishmat, If you turn to page 262, on Shabbos, the Chazan takes over, the Baal Shachris takes over on Shochenad. But on Rosh Hashanah and on Yom Kippur, the Chazan begins 6 words earlier. With which word? Hamelech. In fact, the custom in many shuls is that the Chazan stands by his seat. He doesn't even go up to the Amud. He stands by his seat and he says in a bit of a haunting tune, Ay, Hamelech. You can tell why I'm not a Chazan in Rosh Hashanah, or any other time for that matter. He says, Hamelech. And that's because in Rosh Hashanah, especially in Yosef Yom Teshuva, we want to emphasize the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a story told about the great Hasidic Rebbe, Rabbi Aaron of Karlin, that he got up to daven Shachris and he said, Hamelech, and he fainted dead away. Not dead, but he fainted. So after he is revived, I assume after davening was able to speak, they later asked him, Rebbe, you said Hamelech and you fainted, what happened? So he said, as I said Hamelech, I was reminded of a story in the Gemara Gittin. You'll understand why I fainted. Gemara Gittin, which some of you may be familiar with because it's part of the whole set of stories of Kamtza and Bar Kamtza that people tend to learn on Tisha B'Av, tells a story that at the time of the Roman siege around the city of Yerushalayim, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was smuggled out of the city because he wanted to try to save something, to save a little bit, Yavne v'chachameha. He's smuggled out of the city and he goes before the Roman general. The Roman general at the time was Vespasian. And he goes over to Vespasian and more or less, according to more precisely, but he says to Vespasian, Hail Caesar! Caesar, of course, was the emperor of Rome. That was the title used. But Vespasian wasn't Caesar. What was Vespasian? He was just the Roman general. So Vespasian was very angry at him. I could kill you for that. How could you dare call me Caesar? So he said to him, if you're not Caesar yet, soon you're going to become Caesar. And sure enough, shortly after that, a messenger comes from Rome, and he says to him that the Caesar had died, and the Senate in Rome had chosen Vespasian to be the new Caesar. So Vespasian was still angry at Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And he said to him, if you knew I was going to be Caesar, why did you wait until now to tell me? Gemara says, said the Baron of Karlin, I stood here before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I proclaim HaKadosh Baruch Hu HaMelech. But I knew yesterday that he was the Melech. I knew the day before. And only today do I stand here and proclaim HaMelech. Why wasn't I thinking this yesterday and the day before? And when that thought occurred to me, I was so overwhelmed that I just fainted. There are many, many piyutim that are recited during Chazaras Hashatz, but I'm not going to talk about the piyutim for a little bit of a lack of time. I want to go for right after Tfilat Amidah, right after the Shemoneh Esrei. Turn to page 384. Avinu Malkeinu. The old story. How many Avinu Malkeinos are there?
One.
Okay. All right. Avinu Malkeinu. So the very first line of Avinu Malkeinu, which we're so used to saying, because we say it every time we say Avinu Malkeinu, is really totally out of place on Rosh Hashanah, but you wouldn't have noticed it unless you paid attention. What's the first line of Avinu Malkeinu? Chatanu lefanecha. How many times do we say vidui on Rosh Hashanah? The answer is none. On Yom Kippur, 10 different times you have to say vidui. On Rosh Hashanah, there's no vidui. There's no ashamnu, bagadnu, there's no alchet shechatanu lefanecha. There's no vidui. And therefore, saying Avinu Malkeinu Chatanu Lefanecha is quite out of place. To such an extent, the Achronim write that there were some kehilot that started Avinu Malkeinu from the second line. They wouldn't even say Avinu Malkeinu Chatanu Lefanecha. Avinu Malkeinu would start Avinu Malkeinu Einon Melech Elat. Most kehilot say the first line. But the question is why? Why is there no vidui on Rosh Hashanah? Rav Soloveitchik once explained the nature of Rosh Hashanah is very different than the nature of Yom Kippur. In fact, the nature of Rosh Hashanah to a certain extent is different than the rest of Aseret Yemei Tshuva. We're not really engaged in actual tshuva on Rosh Hashanah. There's no asham nu baganu. We'll do that during Aseret Yemei Tshuva, and certainly on Yom Kippur, but not on Rosh Hashanah. We're not there yet. We're not up to doing tshuva yet. We're at the stage before. And what's that stage before? Beginnings of hirhure tshuva. What are hirhure tshuva? Thoughts. We're sort of like beginning to realize that we need to do tshuva. So before a person can do tshuva, they have to realize that they need to do tshuva. And Rosh Hashanah is a little bit of an awakening that I think I need, maybe, something's not right. To a certain extent, that awakening is one of the functions, or maybe we'll mention a little bit later, is one of the functions of something that's almost the center of Rosh Hashanah, which is shofar. Is to wake us up and say, hey, all's not right. Things have to change. You have to change. I have to change. We have to change. But before I can talk about what I need to change, I have to realize that something's not right. That's what Rosh Hashanah is about. A bit of a sense of hirhure tshuva. After Rosh Hashanah is over, we can start with the ashamnu and the bagadnu. And will reach its peak on Yom Kippur. First, we have to be Maharib. Kriyat Torah, obviously there's special Kriyat Torah for Rosh Hashanah. The Torah starts here on page 402. On the first day, what do we read about? At least what's the beginning of the Kriyat Torah on the first day? So we mentioned Vashem Pakad et Sarah. And Sarah will conceive and give birth to Yitzchak after all these years of being barren. Why do we read this on Rosh Hashanah? So Chazal tell us that when did it happen? Shesara Nifkada? On Rosh Hashanah. That's when it happened. So that's why we read this Kriyas HaTorah. But we also want to mention Avram and Sarah and Yitzchak. We want to mention the Avos and the Imos. Why? What? Because we want to have zchut avot and zchut imahot. But what does it mean to have zchut avos? What does it mean to have zchut imahos? What does it mean to have that zchut? So I mention Avram and I get merits? Hey, my great 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 Elder Zayd, the grandfather, was Avram. So I think I saw once the name of Nevin's song. He says, we mention the Avos and the Imos because they're our role models. And if they become our role models, if they are the kind of people that I try, in at least in a minute manner somewhat, to emulate, to learn from their midos, then I have zchut. Then I have merits. If I say Avram Avinu, Sari Imenu, they're my role models. They're midot, is what I would like to be on that path. Then I have schut. Then I have merits in my life. So when we mention the schut avot and the imot throughout that tefillot, or we hint to them, it doesn't just work to say, by the way, I'm Sari Imenu's great-great-granddaughter. You have to be deserving of that title, that we are their descendants. We just want to emulate them. And then we have the schut avot. There's one other thing, one other point from the Kriyat HaTorah of the first day that's very relevant to Rosh Hashanah. Take a look at page 406. At the end of the Aliyah of Shlishi, unless it's a Shabbos, it's Revi, otherwise it's Shlishi. So it says, Vayishma Elokim et kol hanar, Vayikra malach Elokim el agam min ha-shamayim, Vayomer la malach hagar al tiri, Tishma Elokim el kol hanar, Basher hu sham. HaKadosh Baruch Hu heard the nar. Who's the nar who's crying? Yishmal Basher hu sham. Translate, what does it mean, Basher hu sham? Where he is. What does that mean? Shem heard the cry of the nar where he is. Rashi quotes Chazal, Rashi in Chumash, quotes Chazal that there was a major discussion that took place between the Malachi Asharis and HaKadosh Baruch Hu regarding Yishmael. Yishmael is there in the desert, and what does he desperately need? What is he missing? What don't they have? Water. He's dying of thirst. So what happens? Says Rashi, quoting the Medrash, Lefi Shahayu Malachai Asharis Mekatrigim V'yomrim. The Malachai Asharis went on the attack against Yishmael. And they said, Ribono Shalola Mishatid Zaro Lamid Banecha Batsama Tamala Lo Be'er. You know this Yishmael? Do you know what will happen? At the time of the Churban, Bnei Yisrael will be traveling in the desert. And they're going to assist the enemies of Bnei Yisrael to help Bnei Yisrael die of thirst. His descendants are going to cause your children to die of thirst, and you're going to create a Be'er for him? Going to make a miracle and grant him water? Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'hu meshivam achshav mahu tzadik ha-rasha. Right now, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right now is he a tzadik or a rasha? Right now. Amulo, tzadik, right now he's a tzadik. He hasn't done all his evil deeds yet. Amar lahem, l'fi ma'asav shel achshav anidana. And I'm going to judge him now. As he is now, in his present state. I know that later on, things won't be so good. But if right now he's a tzaddik, he's going to be judged as a tzaddik. Come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu every year on Rosh Hashanah. We say we want to change. We want to be different. We do this on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. But I said the same thing last year. I said the same thing the year before. And I said the same thing the year before that. How much has changed from year to year? I promise I'm going to be good. I really intend to be good. So how do we want to be judged? We want to be judged on the outcome of our good intentions, which sometimes are a dismal failure? Or do we want to be judged on at least what our good intentions are at this moment? Right now, we want to be in Yishmael's camp. Basher hu sham. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I know I'm not perfect. But don't look at how I'm going to be 6 months from now. Right now, I really mean what I say. Judge me, Basher hu sham. And that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges. Naftara, the first day of Rosh Hashanah, it's a famous story. What story do you read on the first day of Rosh Hashanah on page 416? It's the story of Chana. Why do we read the story of Chana? So to a certain extent it parallels the Kriyas HaTorah. Chana gives birth to To whom? Shmuel. And in the Kriya Satara, Sarah gave birth to Yitzchak. Chazal also tell us that Chana was Nifkada on Rosh Hashanah. But there may be another point that's brought out. Again, I think so in the name of Soloveitchik. Chana is childless. And she has a wonderful husband whose name is Elkanah. And they're there, and Chan is very, very brokenhearted. Take a look on page 418. Vayomer la Elkanah Yisha, Chana lama tivki, v'lama lo tochli, v'lama yera levavech. Why are you crying? Why don't you eat? Why are you so brokenhearted? Hello, anochi tov lach me'asara banim. I'm better than for you than 10 children. That statement was devastating to Chana. Because what did Elkanah imply by that statement, whether he meant it or not? Elkanah gave up on her having kids. What are you crying for? I'm better than 10 kids. Gamarnu with the kids. Why are you crying? Let's go on in life. Even her own husband gave up on her. So who's going to help her? Who's going to sympathize? Who's going to empathize? There's only one left. And who's that? It's me and the Ribono Shalom. Nothing else in this world is going to help. That's what Chana realized on that day. That day, Chana davened like she never davened before. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was waiting for. That's the Koach HaTfilah. Nothing else will make a difference in the world. It's me, and Ribono Shel Olam. And if I really, really want something, I have to know what it's dependent on, and I have to daven. No one else in the world is going to help me. Either this one, nor that one, the closest family members. That's the way to daven. That's the way to daven. Kriya Satara on the second day is it's a bit of an obvious Kriya Satara. The second day of Rosh Hashanah, you turn back. Page 402, what do we read about? The Akedah. And again, we want to mention Skutavot. There's a day in the Medrash that the Akedah actually took place on Rosh Hashanah. Again, the Skutavot, but again, what the Skutavot means. They're our role models. They're the mitzvot that I want to emulate. And then we have the Skutavos. In the Haftarah on Rosh Hashanah, of the second day of Rosh Hashanah, begins right. Page 416 from Yirmiyahu. So the second pasuk in the Haftarah says, "May rachok." Page 416. May rachok Hashem nirali vahavat olam ahavtich. Hashem appears to me in the distance. But Hashem says, "V'ahavat olam ahavtich." I take a look, and I feel so distant from HaKadosh Baruch, so far from what He wants. But what is Hashem saying the whole time? "V'ahavat olam ahavtich." My love for you, for Am Yisrael, is eternal. I know you've distanced yourself from me, but my love is eternal. I'm just waiting for you to return. It's never too late. The love never changes, chas v'shalom, to the opposite. It's ahavat olam. No matter how distant, how far, how far a person's gone away. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always waiting, to a certain extent, with open arms, with the sense of love, for us to return. Finish Kriyas HaTorah and HaHaftarah and Rosh Hashanah. It brings us to a great extent what is the highlight of Rosh Hashanah, and that's Tkiyat Shofar, page 432. In fact, if you take a look in your art scroll on page 430, you can read it later, but he quotes from Rav Saadia Gaon these 10 different reasons or symbolic allusions that exist to the blowing of the shofar. Just want to mention a few quick reasons what it's about. One is Rosh Hashanah is the day in which we coronate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What purpose does the shofar serve? When you coronate the king, so what do? Where are Brits? When you coronate a king, a queen, what do? You blow the trumpets. You come along and you have it with pomp and circumstances. That's to a certain extent the Tkiyat Shofar. That's the trumpet blowing of being Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Secondly, something that we already mentioned, and that is to create us a Hurei Tshuva, to wake us up from our spiritual slumber. The shofar is an alarm clock, something to come and wake us up. And thirdly, the shofar is a kind of tefillah, but it's a kind of tefillah without words. When a person comes along, sometimes when we have these built-in emotions, we can't even put it into words. So we shriek, we cry out, we wail. To a certain extent, that's what the shofar represents. Our understanding that, oy vey, things have to change, but I can't even begin yet to enunciate it. The shofar is that expression of our emotions to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a minog, I think, throughout Kilot Yisrael to blow sounds of the shofar many more times than we're actually required to blow on Rosh Hashanah. Gemara tells us that you really have to blow 9 different sounds. Because there's a question about which 9 sounds to blow, we end up blowing 30 sounds. 3 times Tkiyah Shvarim Trua Tkiyah, 3 times Tkiyah Shvarim Tkiyah, 3 times Tkiyah Trua Tkiyah. So that adds up to 30. And yet, Minhag is to blow 100 kolos on Rosh Hashanah. Where do we get 100 kolos from? It's a medrash that says, seems to be totally unconnected, that a certain mother who cried 100 times, or 100 whales. Who was that mother? The mother of Sisra. Sisra was the general of Canaan who went to war against Barak and Dvorah. And eventually, what happens to him? He's killed by Yael. And his mother is waiting for her, my son the doctor, my son the general. My son the general is going to be returning home victorious from his battle. He's going to be turning home. He's coming soon. He must be coming soon. Why is he so delayed? And then the news reaches her that what has happened? He's been killed. The battle has been lost. And the whole world just turns topsy-turvy. All the illusions that she had, that she thought was so wonderful and great, in a moment, just disappeared. to a certain extent, we have to feel that. We have certain illusions in life. We can just keep on going and doing whatever we want to do. Nothing bad will ever happen. Everything's always going to be good, just the way it's always been. Learn from the mother of Sisera. No. In a moment, everything can turn around. Wake up, says the shofar. Realize that the olam doesn't always come in hagaholek. Things aren't always so fine and dandy. It's time to start having a hurry tshuva. Finally, in Malchiot, in Musaf, Shmon Esrei, Musaf Shmon Esrei Rosh Hashanah, pardon. Musaf Shmon Esrei Rosh Hashanah is the longest tefillah throughout the entire year. And whereas on a regular Yom Tov, on Shabbos, on a regular Yom Tov, Musaf has seven brachos. The standard first three and last three, and one which talks about the Kedusha of Shabbos and the Kedusha of Yom Tov. The Musaf of Rosh Hashanah has nine. The first three and the last three, and then three special sections in the middle, which we refer to as Malchiot, Zichronot, and Shofrot. And in each section, we mention at least 10 psukim that have to do with Malchut, and then 10 psukim that have to do with Zichronot, and 10 psukim that have to do with Shofrot. The Malchut, simple. What are we talking about? Kadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech HaOlam. He rules the world. What is Zichronot about? So what does Zikaron mean? Hashem remembers. But it's not only that Hashem remembers. Hashem is very much involved in this world. He's extremely active. There's hashkacha in this world. The very first thing we talk about is about Noah. There's a marble that's brought because of the Rishoyim. And there's a teva that's being built to save the tzaddik. Kadosh Baruch Hu pays close attention to everything that's going on. And then finally we have shofar. The shofar is a symbol of the Gilui Hashchina, Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence in this world. First time we hear the shofar in Chumash is where? Where is the first shofar mentioned explicitly? Har Sinai. There's the shofar of Har Sinai. There's the shofar of the Gilui Shechina that can happen at any point. And then there's the future shofar, the shofar of Yemot HaMashiach. Levi Yitzchak Mibraditchev once got up in Rosh Hashanah, turned, I guess, towards the Aron Kodesh, and he said, Ribono Shel Olam, for centuries upon centuries, Bnei Yisrael have been blowing the shofar, 100 kolos, every Rosh Hashanah, every single kehila. That's millions and millions of shofar sounds that we've been blowing for so many centuries. And what do we ask in return? All we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one shofar sound for you. That's all. Teka shofar gadol b'cheirutein. One shofar. May we all have Yixi Nolasimatoya.